Stay connected. This is Como News. Stay connected. Stay informed with Como News 1000 FM 97.7. Online at comonews.com. This is KOMO Seattle. KOMO FM Oakville.
From ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. The FBI says the pro-Trump Capitol insurrection was no random event.
Some attackers used amateur radios and encrypted applications to communicate their plans and used call signs, not their real names. This in a message from the FBI's New York office to law enforcement partners. The feds say some Capitol Hill attackers wore masks that concealed earpieces, throat mics, and push-to-talk wrist buttons. They used checked luggage to transport operational equipment, including helmets, knives, and trauma kits.
ABC's Chuck Sievertson. Separately, investigators are trying to determine if Riley June Williams of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, an alleged participant in the insurrection, determine if she stole a computer or hard drive from Speaker Nancy Pelosi's office intent on selling it to Russia. A witness says that sale never happened. Williams remains at large. With Joe Biden's inauguration just days away, concern about an insider attack by service members working inauguration security.
To prevent an insider threat, the Army is working with the FBI to vet the 25,000 National Guardsmen who will provide security at this week's inauguration. Officials told the Associated Press that so far they've seen no evidence of any threats, and the vetting hasn't flagged any issues. A National Guard spokesman said FBI background checks are conducted on all arriving guardsmen as part of the process to obtain credentials for the inauguration. Luis Martinez, ABC News, Washington.
Rudy Giuliani tells ABC News he will not be part of the outgoing president's impeachment trial in the Senate. He says he's been told the speech he gave before the Capitol riot makes him a witness ineligible for the defense team. Giuliani not ruling out Trump testifying at his own trial.
Giuliani says Trump may just take the witness stand. The president has always been focused on crowd size and the Nielsens. If he testifies in a televised Senate trial, it could be a ratings buster.
ABC News legal analyst Royal Oaks. You're listening to ABC News.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino. And believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-721-4880. That's 800-721-4880. 800-721-4880. Or go to selectquote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
After surviving being poisoned with nerve gas, Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny is in custody in Russia. He was under orders to return, Russian police detaining him after his arrival from Germany.
Hundreds of his supporters and journalists had gathered to see his arrival, but the flight was rerouted by authorities at the last minute to a different airport. Russia's prison service has said it's arresting Navalny for allegedly violating the terms of a suspended sentence from 2014. That is being criticized by rights groups and internationally as simply a pretext to jail him.
ABC's Patrick Reeval in London. In this country, Vice President-elect Kamala Harris resigns her Senate seat today ahead of her and Joe Biden's inauguration on Wednesday. That will clear the way for California's governor to appoint Secretary of State Alex Padilla as California's first Latino senator. A tech titan is getting fit.
Google has completed its purchase of Fitbit for $2.1 billion. The deal has raised regulatory alarms and privacy concerns. Watchdogs are worried the company could exploit Fitbit to peer deeper into users' lives and sell more ads. But Google made several commitments around the world not to use health and fitness data for those reasons. The company is still fighting several lawsuits filed by the U.S. Department of Justice and state attorneys general, alleging it abuses its power as a world's most dominant search engine. Yuni Han, ABC News.
This is ABC News.
Ready to create your own income with your own home-based business where there's no such thing as getting laid off? If a billionaire entrepreneur spent 5 years and $20 million searching for the next big trend, Wouldn't you want to know what he found? If you're serious about making money from home without having to leave home, then write this down. www.gohernext.com. You decide your income. Get the facts now. Gohernext.com.
I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
An earlier mudslide still making a mess of things on State Route 101. This is near Hood Sport. The roadway is reduced to a single lane near North Lake Cushman Road. Meanwhile, traffic is alternating still on Highway 203 near Stillwater Hill Road in the Carnation area due to road work as well. I'm Evan Smith, Como 24/7 Traffic.
The Como Forecast.
I'm Rick Van Sice in the Como Weather Center. After a really nice Sunday afternoon with some sun breaks, we're back to some more clouds overnight. Fog first thing tomorrow morning, and then Martin Luther King Jr. Day will be generally dry, but we do have more clouds than clearing. Again, with some morning fog to watch for, and highs should be in the mid to upper 40s on Monday. By Tuesday, partly sunny skies, again some fog in the morning, highs in the upper 40s. Next chance of rain comes in late Tuesday night.
From ABC News, this is Perspective. This week's stories and why they matter. I'm Sherry Preston. Coming up, on his way out, he is impeached a second time. Donald Trump's final days in office.
Is there little time left? Yes. But it is never too late to do the right thing.
Thousands of National Guard troops flood the nation's capital with more threats of violence ahead of the inauguration.
The FBI has become concerned and has remained concerned that there could be violence in all 50 states.
And memories of places where we used to play. Baseball stadiums and amusement parks turned into giant vaccination centers.
Disneyland's parking lot now has giant tents set up. And now instead of it's a small world, families will be going there to get the vaccine. Same at Dodger Stadium. This is how we're going to get out of the pandemic.
All ahead on Perspective. It all happened so quickly, this second impeachment of President Donald Trump. The single article, incitement of insurrection.
We're going to walk down Pennsylvania Avenue. I love Pennsylvania Avenue. And we're going to the Capitol.
The mob violence that broke out shortly after that speech to his supporters on January 6th at the heart of the process. On the House floor, Democrats recalled the siege and said enough.
1 week ago today, I was trapped in this House chamber as the banging on the doors began. I feared for colleagues, reporters, and staff. I feared for myself.
If inciting a deadly insurrection is not enough to get a president impeached, then what is?
Most Republicans stood by the president.
I urge my colleagues to vote against this divisive impeachment and realize that dividing America will not save this republic.
If we impeached every politician who gave a fiery speech to a crowd of partisans, this Capitol would be deserted.
Some, like Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, until last week when a President Trump's closest allies in the House laid blame.
He should have immediately denounced the mob when he saw what was unfolding.
But said they favored censure instead of impeachment. In the end, 10 Republicans broke ranks, making the final vote 197 against, 232 in favor of impeaching President Trump a second time.
Today, in a bipartisan way, the House demonstrated that no one is above the law, not even the President of the United States.
And now, as we get ready for Joe Biden to take the oath of office and the Senate to try Donald Trump, even after he's left the Oval Office, how will we heal? Especially as Washington, D.C. is locked down, the National Mall closed, the Capitol surrounded by unscalable fences and snipers positioned on rooftops as the FBI warns of more violence. Let's begin in Washington with our senior congressional correspondent, Mary Bruce. Legislatively, Mary, what happens next? When could the Senate reasonably hold any kind of an impeachment trial for President Trump? And how would that differ from the last one that we had?
Well, right now, Nancy Pelosi essentially holds all the cards because it all depends on when she sends over these articles of impeachment. Now, the Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has made it clear that he's not going to call members back into session. So the soonest you could see any action on this is January 20th. And that, of course, is Inauguration Day. it seems Democrats want to get moving on this quickly, although there was some talk before that maybe they wait until after Biden's first 100 days, because, of course, there is a real conflict here, right? The incoming president is trying to get to work just as the outgoing president is being put on trial in the Senate. That makes it a little difficult as Joe Biden is trying to unite and heal the country and also get some of his big ticket agenda items done. But he is urging Congress to do both. Try and work on his agenda while also weighing whether or not to convict President Trump.
The president-elect presented a really ambitious stimulus plan, and he's going to need a lot to sell it. How does he do that?
It is a big, bold, ambitious opening offer from the president-elect, a nearly $2 trillion stimulus plan to try and tackle his top priority, to tackle this pandemic and get it under control. It is one of the largest stimulus relief packages in our nation's history. And of course, Joe Biden cast himself. He campaigned as a bipartisan deal maker. He has made it clear he wants Republican buy-in for this. But that massive sky-high price tag means that this is going to be a challenge getting Republicans on board. So not only is this a big ask, but it is also going to be a big early test of the Biden administration. Of course, the president-elect says, yes, this isn't going to be cheap, but he argues that this is a question of morality, not just money.
Mary, you've been covering Capitol Hill a long time. What are the thoughts that Joe Biden may be the exact right person at this moment to bring together some of these people who are on Capitol Hill?
He certainly is going to be relying on a lot of those old relationships, right? He and Mitch McConnell are close, personally close. They have a friendship, a real friendship, and we've seen them already talking. I mean, we know that they've been discussing whether or not it is possible to negotiate a way to work on Biden's nominees and some of his other agenda items in the morning and hold this Senate trial in the afternoons, possibly. So we've seen Joe Biden already trying to work the Hill a little bit, right? He is a creature of the Senate, after all. But I do think we have to be realistic in the fact that the Washington Joe Biden is coming back to is a very different political climate. This is a much more bitterly divided and partisan town now than it was the last time Biden was in leadership. And so I think there is also going to be, you know, a bit of a reality check coming his way. But of course, given what we have seen, the events of the last 2 weeks, I think there is certainly a much larger appetite now to try and bring the parties together, to try and unite and actually get some work done. And also because the challenges are just so monumental. I mean, just pause for a moment and consider what the Biden administration is inheriting. A huge health crisis, a massive economic crisis. There are also other gigantic challenges and things that have kind of been put to the side that we know that Joe Biden wants to work on. But we're going to have to see how Joe Biden can work across the aisle, because even though Democrats are in control of both the Senate and the House, Biden is making it abundantly clear that he still wants Republicans on board.
What's it been like at the Capitol? Emotions ranging from anger and fear, I would think, distrust, bitterness. Any room at all for any kind of compromise at this point right now?
Capitol Hill, I think it's important to remember, is still in shock, is still reeling from the riots on January 6th. And so, yes, there is a desire and an appetite, obviously, to heal the country. But of course, I mean, just think about what we saw on the House floor debate over impeachment earlier this week. You have a Republican Party that is deeply fractured right now between those who continue to ardently support the president and those, including some in leadership, of course, like Liz Cheney, the number three House Republican, who have said enough is enough. I think Democrats are also united in this moment. But of course, remember, Joe Biden's going to have to tackle the progressive wing of his party. They are not always on the same page. So right now is really a moment on the Hill, I think, for everyone to try and heal, to try and come together. But of course, when it comes to matters of policy and legislation, the devil is always in the details. So we will see how long that moment lasts.
Thank you, Mary.
Thank you, Sherry.
Coming up, who were those behind the planning of those riots? And what is the FBI saying about the continued threat of mob insurgency? On Perspective after this.